Live. Ooh, music.
You're listening to War for Idiots.
The music's not working. Music.
You're listening to War for Idiots, a podcast by idiots for idiots.
Right, I muted you. I think we're a little bit late.
I was here on time. I don't know where you were.
I was here. I just didn't have my
shizzle in and
sizzle together.
Oh.
Don't worry. I plan to swear in the rest of the show.
Excellent.
I've seen that we've decided to go off theme and are doing nothing related to war tonight. So that's good.
No, everything's related to it. Everything is related to war.
All right. Let's get my keyboard ready so I can jump in the chat window and just rag on you.
All right. Are we good to go?
Yeah, we were good to go last Thursday.
Oh, very good. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, podcast listeners from all of around the world, hello and welcome back to another episode of War for Idiots. It's WFI Friday.
WFI. Oh, yes, WFI Friday.
I know, we keep forgetting to use it. It's like, we're going to use it. I think it's the second time. That's all right.
Because I came up with that, listeners, not Rich.
Trademarked. As always, we are your hosts. I am Rich the Dimwit.
And I am Mick the Nimwit. Hey, we're wits together.
That's it. We're wits. And we are indeed the idiots that you have been looking for. And today, as you would have seen, we are talking about 5G. So get your tin hats ready.
No, it's not. It's, yeah.
Tin hats. Get it ready. Get it ready.
I should have got a tin hat for this show.
I
would have, but I actually let the kids sleep with my tin hat on because it's actually more dangerous at night when you're sleeping. So they have.
Speaking of tin hats, I saw one. I saw a post on Facebook the other day. Someone's like, "I got my flu injection today. Can someone confirm when Bill Gates is going to send my letter and teach me the handshake?" I just love them. I love conspiracy theories. But before we kick off today's show, as always, we just want to thank you, our dear listeners, for your ongoing support of the show. We both Mick and I do. But as always, we want to reach more people. We grow a little bit and a little bit each week, but we want to reach more people and have the discussion.
You grow a lot. You're like 6'12". So like you grow more than a little bit each week.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm much
smaller. But that's where you, our dear listeners, can help us out. So please continue to tell your friends, share our social media posts. They're obviously extremely witty and funny, and you probably want to. Comment, join the discussion. Join us live on Friday night. Spread the word, War for Idiots. But don't spread COVID because that will not be very good. Mick.
That goes out to our Victorian and New South Wales listeners.
That's right. That's right.
How are you still doing it?
Tote orcs. Mick, how's your COVID going?
My COVID's going absolutely bloody fantastic. I'm starting to meet people for coffees and stuff because cafes are there.
Yes. So,
my COVID is getting a little bit better each day. So that's from my COVID experience, not actually COVID, because we've only got, like, I don't know how many cases we've got in the ACT, but, you know, far less than most other people. Although Tasmania's got zero. So they're basically New Zealand.
Yeah, but to be fair, they can't really count down in Tasmania, so that's who knows.
Hey, family. Hey, Mick.
I'm sorry.
Hey,
yeah. Please don't hate me. No, that's great, mate.
they already hated you, so it's okay.
It's good to see some sort of light at the end of this COVID tunnel. You know, the light is very, very, very far away, as I keep reminding everyone who's close to me, but at least there is a light at the end of the Australian tunnel. So we are indeed the lucky country.
Walking up to them and just saying, "Can you see the light?" It's freaking like the fact that you do it to a lot of pensioners is just
random people at Woolies. Can you see the light? All right. But before we kick off talking about this crazy topic of 5G, we just wanted to thank our good sponsors at Good2Go Gear. G2G. So Good to Go Gear, G2G. Good to Go Gear is an Australian veteran-owned business that has been supporting customers for over a decade. Now, whether you are into military, camping, adventure, workwear, or first aid, they have got a wide range that is ready to be shipped to you. All you need to do is you need to go to their catalog at www.goodtogogear.com.au and get the best gear that is really G2G. The best thing is they offer a 30-day 100% satisfaction guarantee, which you won't need. But they also ship to both Australia and the US of A. So I ask you rhetorically, what are you waiting for? Go and check out Good To Go Gear.
I got some sweet gear from them right here.
That is G2G gear that is truly good to go. And as you can see, Mick and
A great bunch, mate. They're just a great bunch of people.
They really are. They're super supportive. They not only support the show, they support everything that we're doing, you know, in the PME world and beyond. Smart peeps at Good To Go Gear. And somehow by miraculous non-planning, Mick and I are not wearing the same shirt. It's going to happen one day. We're going to both wear the same one. It's going to be totes orcs. And we're just going to have to live with
it. But we'll both look good at least.
But the good thing about Good To Go Gear is they kind of keep us up to date with some of the stuff they're doing. And they've got some, I'll let them send out their own spoilers, but the team there have got some really exciting stuff down the pipeline. They are getting bigger. Their range is getting wider. They're offering better stuff. It is really G2G gear. That's very exciting.
Discounts lately, which, yeah, I'm kind of glad we got this stuff as part of our the work we do with them. But
yeah.
I'm also a little bit disappointed that the previous Good To Go Gear stuff I had wasn't at such a good rate. And I got a deal, but I did get the deal.
Yeah.
If I could go back 5 years ago, I'd probably give them back my T-shirt and say,
hey guys, look,
wait 5 years.
What if in 5 years' time you sponsor my show? Maybe you want to give it to me for free now and, you know, we'll call it a bit we'll call it even Stevens.
30% off sale in 5 years. Why am I buying it now? Funny fact, ladies and gents, I bought one of my Good To Go Gear shirts outfield on exercise from a field store.
There you go.
And that's not a Q store, because if it was a Q store, the QE would have just said, can't have it. Last one on the shelf.
Can't have it. It's my own personal one that you cannot have.
It was so on big exercises, Hamill Talisman Sabre, you'll see that some shops operate in the rear areas. And you'll see Good To Go Gear in the rear areas. That sounds a bit dodgy, actually.
There you go. There you go. We'll just get that in post, mate. We'll get that in post. All right. Today we are talking about 5G, and it has generated a lot of excitement in the lead up to it. And I can tell you right now, in the research that it's taken to get to what we're going to talk to tonight, I'm pretty sure I've got a lot of files with a lot of agencies right now, because I went to some crazy places, some real crazy places to read a lot about conspiracy theories and 5G and what's going to happen in the future. But some people have been asking us, you know, why are you guys talking about 5G? You're meant to be war for idiots. You're meant to be talking about, you know, contemporary issues, war, warfare, war theory, Clausewitz, you know, Sun Tzu, all this sorts of stuff.
It was me that asked that. It wasn't some people. It was me.
It's you know, a poetic license. And, you know, how is it related to war? Is what Mick abruptly asked me on Twitter today. And it's a good question. Not because Mick came up with it, but it's just a good question, because it reminded me to, like, hey, don't just spend your time talking about crazy conspiracy theories. Relate it back to what people want to hear about. And it's a good point, because that's why I started it in the first place. So what we're going to talk about through 5G, a bit of a spoiler, but just to plant the seed to get you excited, is geopolitical competition. And there is no more important time to be talking about that than 2020, than during the pandemic, than during global competition that we currently face. Great power competition is now back on the table. 5G is related to that. We are talking about social movements around the world. We're talking about pandemic. And then as all these things are happening in the world right now, I don't know about you, but I've been seeing 5G's bad here, 5G's bad there, but 5G's coming, 5G's coming. So it's been there in the peripherals. And the two things that we're going to bring out today at the end of this episode, and please keep me honest with this, Mick, I want to get back to this, two points. Nothing happens for a single reason, all right? That we're going to come back to that point at the end of this episode, that things often happen in multitudes of reasons, never for a single reason. And maybe one of those multitudes of reasons, maybe 5G in the future. And the point that everything is connected. And that's one of the things through doing this show.
5G company motto.
That's right. Everything. Oh, that'd be good. That's trademarked. Everything is connected.
Yeah, right? Everything on this show is copyright. You guys listen to the show. You can't actually use what we say.
That's right. But everything is connected, you know, much like I've learned doing this show with you, much like I learned from listening to your other crappy show. You know, World War II was related to World War One. Vietnam was related to what happened in World War II. Everything is connected.
You right? missed all the points. They're all completely standalone activities.
So we're going to get to some really interesting stuff. So bear with us as we get through 5G, but prepare to have your minds.
We're going to get to some interesting stuff. And we're also going to talk about 5G.
That's really mean. Okay. So to start with, what is 5G? All right. So I did a lot of search and I went to, Qualcomm, Qualcomm.com. They're one of the main companies that are bringing out 5G, and they provide a very simple explanation of what is 5G. 5G
Qualcomm.
Stands for
Qualcomm.
Qualcomm. Thank you. 5G is the fifth generation. That's where the G comes from. Mobile network. It's the new global wireless standard after 1, 2, 3, 4G networks, and enables a new kind of network. And this is quite important. It's a new kind of network that is designed to connect virtually everyone and everything together, including machines, objects and devices. So it is new. It is not like going from 2G to 3G, 3G to 4G, where it kind of just happened. The corner of your phone just changed the number. 5G is something completely different.
Mm.
So what they're saying is that, so they give a couple examples. So 1G was analog cellular. Okay. You remember the 1G? I remember having these phones where a text message was like so expensive and you only texted people that were on the same network as you and stuff like that. Then there was 2G technologies, which GSM, CDMA, I don't know what those stand for, but I remember GSM was kind of important back in the day.
Because of travel, like if we went to the US back in the day, like we wouldn't be able to switch onto their network. Whereas that's now we just get charged $1,000 a second.
That's right. But 2G was the first generation of digital cellular technologies. And then you had 3G technologies, which increased the speed vastly. It went from 200 kilobytes per second to a few megabits per second, which is a huge jump when 3G got introduced. But then when 4G came on, the game changed again. They introduced WiMAX, they introduced LTE, which I've seen certainly in my phone. And this was a massive leap forward that allowed hundreds of megabits and even gigabits per second to now be downloaded to your mobile device.
Such a way.
Right. 5G is something completely new. 5G will bring three new aspects on the table. Okay. The first thing is they're going to bring up bigger channels. So the bandwidth that things are going to come through are going to be immensely bigger, right? Yeah. It's going to speed up data.
The pipe bigger, right?
The pipe is bigger. That's it. Simple as that, right? End episode. There's going to be low latency. So when you click on a link, the latency to actually get stuff is going to be, you know, almost not non-existent. It's just going to instantly pop up. But most importantly,
people who are watching our show at the moment and we're doing this, you won't have those problems anymore.
That's right. That's right.
That'll be good because I'll be able to play games while we do the show and not pay attention.
That'll be so different if it happens.
I'm not playing games. I'm actually chatting with my mates on our chat, Josh and Luke.
Good. And then the ability to connect to more devices at once is going to happen. Now, when is 5G going to launch? Well, here's the thing. It's already launched, right? So it started launching in many countries in 2019. It's already here in Australia. You just may not have a 5G enabled device or might not be in an enabled area yet. And it's expected by the year 2025, it's going to be everywhere. It'll be absolutely everywhere, 5G, right? And there's some really cool things that are coming with 5G.
You said there's three things. There's actually a fourth thing that comes with 5G.
What's that?
COVID-19.
We're going to get to that.
On a serious point, just addressing one of the questions that was chucked up in the YouTube chat. Josh, a good friend of this show and the Death Russian, he thought we were talking about fifth generation warfare. But Josh, I hate to break it to you, but fifth generation warfare is just a marketing gimmick from the air forces of Western militaries.
Yeah.
There's no such thing, mate.
That the fifth generation warfare is actually what gives you COVID. That's
actually what gives
you COVID. Spoiler alert. That's where we're going to get to.
We'll get there. All right. Thanks for popping up, Josh. Don't let the smackdowns ever stop you.
And then the final sort of plug for 5G, no pun intended, is that the practicality of what you actually get. So again, 2G came out in 1991, and this introduced the world to texting, right? Digital texting is what happened in 1991.
Whoa.
3G hit the streets in 1998. This is a bit of a blast for the past for me, so bear with me. 3G hit the streets in 1998.
And that's where I got my first mobile.
And that's, So that's when texting was obviously around, but internet access, you started to be able to see websites on your mobile phones. And I remember it just being blown away. That was pretty cool, right? Then 4G came in 2008, and that's when internet access videos started to become on phones. And people forget this, but it wasn't until 2008 when you could look at a YouTube clip on your telephone, when you can actually see many things on your phone at once. This is about the same time that the iPhone came out, and then the smartphone industry just exploded. And then when 5G comes out, SMS, internet, 3D videos, but not only that, everything in your house will be connected. So no longer is it going to be that needs to connect to this, to connect to this, to get to that. No. That I'm pointing to a folder. That folder will be connected to the internet through macro and micro cell towers. So that's this big thing about 5G.
This wooden desk will be connected to the internet.
This wooden desk will be connected to 5G. It'll probably be a really, really cool thing.
Weird. So I will be able to, instead of using my hand to open the drawer, I'll be able to jump on my keyboard, open the drawer.
Yeah. Exactly. And then the reason why there's so much sort of infrastructure being established for 5G is because the way 5G is going to work is that it needs many more towers to cover it. So previously it just needed a phone tower to cover the spectrum that's going to cover, and I'll go into the details of that in a second. But because 5G is going to use what's called cell phones are cells are how telephones communicate. Macro cells are what we used up to now. Well, there needs to be installed a whole bunch of micro cells because the spectrum that's going to be utilized needs that. And that's why there's been so much installation happening around the world for 5G to be enabled everywhere you go.
Yeah, strangely since about October last year.
Yeah. Okay. So we've just spent a good, 10 minutes talking about 5G. And to me, mate, when you first read about it, and you got to remember, you're reading a lot of things from people that are selling you 5G, everything seems fine, right?
It just does. Like, although the number of cells, right? So they're like, this is revolutionary, right?
Yeah.
It just kind of makes me wonder, like, if with 4G, if we just built more cell phone towers, would that have just given us the same result 5G is giving us?
No.
Because it looks like they're building like lots more connectivity points, right?
I'm going to go into the reason why that is not quite the case.
It does sound pretty cool, right?
But you need to understand that we're going to talk about the electromagnetic spectrum. I've got a depth of knowledge that measures in 12 to 13 hours of research.
You should probably go for a job in telecommunications. So I'll tell you what, you're better than any IT. You've had more training than any IT help desk.
But based on that research, I don't think that just doing more 4G towers will give you 5G. More is not better.
Prove it.
So if 1G was one tower, 4G must be four towers.
That's exactly right. I'm looking at the graph.
It's basic maths. What else do you want? All right. So 5G seems like it's got nothing but good for everyone in the world. But as you highlighted, as we advertised for this show, and as you've been discussing already, why is it that telecommunication towers in Belgium, in the Netherlands, in Quebec, and all across the world are being set alight by people that are calling themselves anti-5G activists? Why is there graffiti all around that are saying COVID is not killing everyone? It's actually 5G that's killing everyone. What is going on with this crazy conspiracy with 5G, and how does it relate to geopolitics? How does it relate to war, which is the topic that we want to talk about? And that's been the question that's been bugging me all week. Mick, can you just explain all that for us real quick, please? I knew you weren't. I saw you typing away.
I'm engaging with our fans. Okay.
That's really good. That's really
good. I know, mate. You want to know how
far? No, I'm joking.
I can explain it.
Don't.
Going to make me sweat. But we'll get into that later in the show anyway.
We definitely are. Okay. So the first thing, and this has a real military relevance as well, is the electromagnetic spectrum. Because when you're talking about wireless technology, wireless communications, you're talking about this spectrum that's known as the EMS, electromagnetic spectrum. And it's all about how radio waves travel through the spectrum. Right. So there's a really good article that I stumbled across, Forbes magazine, Forbes.com, that explains what 5G is. What was that?
Nothing.
Good.
It's just famous magazine for military strategic affairs.
Yeah, Forbes.com. Yeah, you probably haven't heard of it. So 5G, right? 5G doesn't stand for 5 megahertz. 5G stands for fifth generation, as we spoke about. And the reason is because that's important is because the megahertz spectrum that we're about to speak about is completely different to what's been operated before. Now, I'm going to say the word gigahertz a lot. I don't want you to freak out because it freaked out me when I first started to read it. All of the mobile phone technology up until 4G has operated on a spectrum between 1 and 6 gigahertz. Okay. So that's been the spectrum that it's been operating on. And between 1 and 6 gigahertz, radio waves have a certain length. Yep. And at that, and this is the bottom end of the electromagnetic spectrum. So the full left side of it. Okay.
Are they 7 long?
I don't know exactly how long they are. Right. Okay. So stop asking me questions because I've only just read this. But they're quite long. They travel a very long way, and they're radio waves that travel quite long. So your phone via these ginormous waves that are between 1 to 6 gigahertz connects to a phone tower. That phone tower connects to the main grid, and then that main grid connects to the satellite. That's how you're connected, right, through these waves. But 5G is going to be different. Okay. Like the reason why 5G is different, and the reason why I don't think more towers of 4G would make 5G, which is an amazing sort of theory you have, is because the numbers of gigahertz that the 5G network will work on. Remember, 4G was 1 to 6 gigahertz. 5G is going to be between 30 and 100 gigahertz. All right. So it is on another end of the spectrum. It's not towards the full right. That's
another end, at least 5 times more than the extreme end of the other spectrum. it's like This is over here. It's a little bit of a difference.
No, but there's further. It's not on the full right. On the full right, you're talking about radioactivity and X-rays and stuff like that. It's not that far. It's not ionizing. I think that's
It's not ionizing radiation.
It's not ionizing radiation. Okay. So the scientists say, right, we'll get there in a minute. And so two things happen when you operate between 30 and 100 gigahertz. The waves are much shorter. Okay. And if you knew anything about radio wave technology, if you're an expert like me, has been reading about it for a couple of hours.
Just task Josh, who's an electrical engineer.
Oh, he's going to look it up.
I've got him to fact check you throughout the show.
Oh my God. I'm so nervous now. So radio waves travel within this spectrum. They're much shorter, okay? And when radio waves are much shorter, they can't travel as far. So as a result... So you need more cells, okay? So that's exactly what we're talking about. So that's why more macro cells don't hurt. That's why we're going to see a lot more installation of micro towers everywhere. All right, and you're going to start hearing this term, small cells. Macro cells, big towers, small cells, micro cells installed everywhere, directional, all that sorts of stuff, okay? And that's how they're going to work, and that's how everything is going to be connected, smartphones, smart device. So everything's much shorter.
Radiate our neighborhoods between 30 and 100.
Here we go, okay? And the next thing, and what you're talking about now, is that these waves react differently with your body. So it is known that 4G waves and 5G waves react differently with the human body, okay? So the current waves of low gigahertz safely travel through your body. You can see them going through me now, right? This is, God, I hope you didn't record that video. So they go through you, but it is known that frequencies between the numbers we spoke about before, between 30 and 100 gigahertz, do not travel all the way through you. They absorb,
it's stuck in me.
They absorb into your skin. Okay. And this is the basic science between the interaction of light and matter. So I've read. Okay?
Question.
Yes. Yes.
How do I put this delicately? Someone who has the sort of body mass you do, muscle, versus someone who has the sort of body mass I do, the other part,
muscle,
chunky enchilada type stuff. Are they going to get stuck in my fat first, or are they going to get stuck in your muscle first? No, because this is important. If we're walking down the street, I want to know if I'm safer walking behind you or in front of you.
So it's the skin. So it absorbs into the skin, but it doesn't penetrate past the skin. So that's it. Your skin is enough to stop it.
Easy. Done.
So we're good. So in nature, three things happen, right? When waves meet matter, when light meets matter like this. The first thing is that the light is the wrong wavelength to be absorbed by the matter. therefore it gets reflected. And that's what we see, what I've read. This is what happens when plants get hit by a green light. They don't absorb it. They actually reflect green light as part of photosynthesis, okay? The second is that the light is of a right wavelength to be absorbed by matter, but the energy is too low to kick off electrons, as in it doesn't get ionized from the parent atoms and molecules. So this is what happened. This is not the safe one. This is what happens when you put stuff in the microwave. So the radio waves go into it at a level that is enough to heat it, but not enough to kick off electrons to ionize them.
Right. So I can use my microwave to text, is what you're saying.
But basically, yeah, basically, if you want to, you know, a shortcut way of saying that, yeah. And then the third one is that, and this is the bad one, right? Light gets absorbed and each photon is energetic enough to ionize one or more electrons. This is the bad stuff. This is what happens when you get X-rayed. This is what happens when the sun stays on you for too long. And this is what happens if you're too close to A-bombs going off. You get radiation that is ionizing radiation, and it's really bad.
Define too close. I just got something planned on the weekend.
And so the concern with 5G is that it won't be strong enough to ionize, but it will be strong enough to be absorbed into your body and burn you. And that's it. That's it. Burn you is one, reduce your immunity is another, give you COVID is another, but it's all about to do with these radio waves and how 5G is a different length of radio waves because of the different gigahertz that it's going to operate at.
So 5G is not an A bomb. It's just more of a C bomb.
Oh my God. That's it. That's it. That's it completely. So that's it. Can you hit the end of show, I think? That's, we were right.
I don't need to. YouTube's going to take us down pretty soon.
So that's 5G in a nutshell in regards to the electromagnetic spectrum. And I thought that was just a really fascinating thing to talk about because I wanted to bring out that 5G is going to be different for us. It's going to be different for our listeners. It's going to be different from the world because it's not just the change from 3 to 4G. It's a change in the technology of the way we talk. And it's a next step forward. Think about since 2018, when we were able to see each other via our telephones. And do you remember the first iPhone ad where it had the front facing camera and people were able to use sign language to each other? And it just blew everyone's minds like, oh my God, this phone technology is just amazing. 5G is going to be the next step to amazingness that people don't even know. People don't even know what is going to be the new thing.
But what more could it, like?
I don't know.
Is it going to teleport me to that person?
So I don't know.
Hey, just wanted to tell you and then talk to me back.
I just said people don't know. But the thing I think that's important, it's a bit of a sidestep, and I think we can talk about this for another episode, is I did a deep dive into the EMS, the electromagnetic spectrum, which if you Google electromagnetic spectrum military use, oh my God, it just blows you away.
One, listeners, I want you to download a browser called Tor browser. Okay. So Tor is an anonymous browsing tool. And then I want you to use DuckDuckGo, which is an anonymous search tool. And then I want you to do what you said. Now, the reason for that is I don't want you to inadvertently upset our domestic intelligence agencies and redirect valuable resources away from the fight they are currently engaged in, which is far more important than your curiosity. I am sure this week Richie has logged a lot of national security hours he wasn't even aware of.
I'm so sorry, everyone. But it's so true. But no, the EMS is a growing area. It's a growing concern, especially for the maneuverists, the people that want to talk about how we are going to fight the next war. We won't get into it now. In fact, we will do an episode on it. It's all about electronic warfare. It's all about your signature and all that sort of stuff.
It's important for people to understand there are military capabilities out there designed to defeat mobile technology, right? 4G, all that sort of stuff. So,
yeah, absolutely. You
know, I mean, going off the movies. So, if electronic warfare encompasses everything from, you know, radios and stuff like that, phones, all that sort of stuff, then, you know, 5G changing that means there's going to have to be a change in the way that electronic spectrum warfare is occurring.
Exactly. And so I read this article about a big debate that was had in America recently, whether the EMS should be its own domain, because it's a physical domain. You know what I mean? These waves.
Over domains.
Yes. You're right. That's more domains.
More domains. Or we will get to a point where every target is a domain in itself.
Yeah, it'll be – so the future war is no domain warfare. It's warfare that occurs in no domains.
It is like the American joint all domain command and control. So
Yeah.
That's command and control.
But that's the EMS. And I thought that was a bit of an interesting deep dive. I learned a whole bunch about gigahertz and wavelengths, and most importantly about how different 5G is going to be. Bringing it back to war, why is it important for the people that look at war, that look at warfare, besides the military application of the electromagnetic spectrum? We'll talk about that another time.
Yep.
There's a huge, huge geopolitical side to 5G as well.
It's huge. In fact, Mr. Huge himself has been involved in it.
And when we talk...
That was Donald Trump.
That's very good. And when we talk... It's the Donald Trump pair. And especially when we talk about the global dominance, when we talk about competition at the moment, especially between China and America, 5G is one of the main pieces on that chessboard that there's a lot of argument about. You are like the worst looking member of a boy band ever. Don't stop it.
Turn up with a beard, you're probably not going to get in.
So how could something like 5G be a risk to someone's national security? You may be wondering. Well, I found an article.
The show notes, so I'm not wondering.
I found an article on theatlantic.com, and it talks about how, unlike other countries, China has a lot of private firms that have links to the Chinese Communist Party, and that's not new. That's
I also quite want to well known. It is now on China's radar.
That's right.
Thank you. But they're private companies. That's
now, a lot of these private companies are exporting 5G to European countries. Okay. Export. Now, Mick, can you explain very quickly why that would be a bad idea for that to occur, 5G to be exported from something like that?
Foreign ownership and influence in your national infrastructure means that you can't control or secure your national infrastructure, particularly when it comes to technologies based on electronics that deal with communications. You cannot guarantee what information is being absorbed and transmitted for various types of other activities. This is a very, very significant problem because, as we know, China is also one of the world's leading electronics manufacturers as well. So we've seen issues in global supply chain security on components that need to go into, you know, for the military, into military radios, computers, jets, missiles, okay, where even if it's just the PCB, the printed circuit board, if it's manufactured somewhere, you need to be able to have 100% certainty that there is nothing on there that you didn't pay for to make sure it's secure. So when someone is rolling out your national infrastructure for how your people are going to communicate, how they're going to access information, how they're going to access emergency systems in a time of crisis or war, you need to know whether or not a foreign power can switch that on switch that off. And if you look at the wars in, conflicts, a nice term we use now, right, for Russian intervention in Georgia, some of the Russian work they did in Estonia and the cyber war stuff, and what was happening in the Ukraine, how some of these networks were able to be infiltrated and turned off.
Yeah.
Now, most of it was actually through cyber warfare, but think of the same sort of effects occurring that happened, particularly in Georgia, where things were just switched off. They switched off the entire national communications network when they rolled into Georgia. If you do that, through cyber warfare, you've got a chance of defending against it. But if they are able to do that because they own the infrastructure, that's another story. So you're building an insecurity into your national infrastructure straight away.
That's right. And you know, we're not going to say whether this is a bad idea or a good idea. I'll just tell you the facts, right? So America is worried that for exactly what Mick Cook just said, for the future conflicts... They phrased it. But for future conflicts, we don't know who's going to control your intelligence countries in Europe. So America is saying, hey, do not take foreign investment to do your infrastructure. You need to do it yourselves or get someone from America to do it. Okay. And so America is saying, if you pair up with China, we're going to stop sharing intelligence with you because we don't know where your systems are going to be corrupted. right? And then the counterbalance is they're saying that companies are just like, no, we're not linked to the Chinese Communist Party. We are a private owned country. But there's many sort of faults in some of that. And again, just stating the facts here, there's been a long history of certain private industries in China that have conducting prolific cyber attacks against the West. That has happened. It's a well-known fact.
And it's also property theft through these types of systems.
Yeah. And you know, the Wall Street Journal, for example, has estimated that the Chinese Communist Party has injected, they use an estimate of $75 billion into Huawei. Is that how you say it?
Huawei.
Huawei, right?
And Huawei has led to, you know, there's a Huawei executive that's detained in Canada, which has then led to a Canadian in China being detained. Like, this is Cold War type stuff. 5G right. technology is at the competition level that is close to bubbling into where people think it could be.
Exactly. And we don't, and we're not here to say that that is definitely true. We're not here to say that it's untrue. We're here to say that you're a country in Europe and you have two superpowers who are fighting over your communications now. Suddenly, a huge change, huger than 3G to 4G, 4G to 5G, that's going to change the very way we communicate. It is now on the table that competition is suddenly starting to lean towards conflict, and you as a country need to decide, who am I going to go with here? Am I going to go with these people that said they're going to connect me up, or these people who are threatening they're going to cut all ties if I connect up with them? It seems like a very small impact.
Economic warfare is occurring through it. People know how I hate to use buzz terms for warfare, but economic warfare is occurring through it. There are countries that are being, you know, cajoled, countries that are being, you know, butted up with it. But also, there are a lot of countries that are now looking to reinforce and rebuild, and Australia's got a lot of plans in this. They're called the Sovereign Industrial Capability Plans, to build a sovereign capability in some of these technologies or key strategic areas, so we can build our own capability or strategic reserve. Because, you know, it's a hard lesson to learn, but you actually don't want to learn it in a time of crisis, that your strategic reserve or your strategic communications network is controlled by a foreign entity.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if that foreign entity can exert influence through a corporate entity, I'm not going to say puppet, but a corporate entity, then they're one step removed from it, which makes it even more dangerous, because it makes attribution in a rules-based global order a lot more difficult to do. So, mate, it's a tough sort of space, the 5G space, because not everyone has the capability or the companies that can roll out 5G, right?
Like, it really is. And we just wanted to put it on the table. As we spoke about at the start of the show, everything's connected, you know what I mean? And 5G isn't out there existing on its own. It's just one of the many things that are exacerbating this current conflict or this current tension that we have that could potentially lead to, you know, knock on wood that it doesn't, conflict in the future. So that's why I think it's important to monitor it and understand it.
I want to try something based on your little catchphrase. Have you got your War for Idiots 5G plan? Is your house ready to go? Do you want your coffee maker to make you a brew in the morning after one simple text? Make sure you sign on to your War for Idiots 5G plan. Everything's connected.
That's pretty good, man. That's not bad.
Yeah.
Off the top of your head.
Yeah, off the top of my head. But, mate, you inspire me, man.
Thank you. Thank you. And you know what else is inspiring? The guys at Extra Specialist Group. That's a segue. That's a segue right there. Extra Specialist Group. Now, since 2017, the Extra Specialists have been connecting Australian veterans to the entertainment industry. Through their consultancy work, agency, production and training, these guys at Extra Specialists have been changing the face of television and movies. They have been putting those who have served onto the big screen and into your homes. These guys have worked with Marvel, with Touchstone, with Netflix, with Stan, and so much more. Extra Specialist is the place to go if you want to get into the industry.
And I do. I do.
I really do.
I want to be in a movie. I'm not going to lie. How many people actually turn around and, if they had the chance, would want to be in a movie? Like, I don't care if I'm like I'll be the guy that gets shot in the Battle of Long Tan 2, Smith's Revenge. Like, I'll do that.
So if you have Extra Specialist skills, or if you want to learn some, then right now, reach out to extra specialist groups, sign on and get started right now.
Yep.
Just check out their website, www.extraspecialist.com. That's www.extraspecialist.com. These guys are awesome.
Yeah.
And as we said last week, my favorite is part of watching that movie that we reviewed last week. If you haven't heard the episode, download it now. We're seeing all the people I knew
who
went through the extra specialist group and were extras in this movie. Even best was when they got speaking roles. I was just like, oh my God, they got a speaking role. That's so exciting.
And what a brilliant transition plan for veterans of the military and emergency services and first responders. You go to transition seminars and someone who's transitioned out of the full-time military, like, being an officer, everyone's just like, you go into business. I went into business, right? But if someone has gone, hey, you're a weird looking dude, we can probably put you in a lot of movies, I would have gone like, bang on, I'm going to forget you called me weird looking, I'm going to go in those movies. What a great transition plan. Love it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Hey, Andrew Carr's jumped on.
Oh man.
Good friend of the show. Friend of the first season of the show.
Absolutely.
Great to see you. And Andrew, you are 100% correct. This podcast is now a sovereign strategic capability.
I can tell you all now, if you want to get smart, read something written by Andrew Carr. That's what I do.
Do not listen to this show if you want to get smart.
Yeah, yeah.
Read Andrew's stuff. His paper on temporal effects of strategy and basically time and how it relates to strategy. Amazing.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about something else that's amazing, Rodio.
Yeah. So I was born.
The strangest part about 5G for me is what you've been sort of nipping at the whole time, and that is the conspiracy theories that have come out about it. Now, the fact that it's fueling geopolitical competition, that's a fact. It's happening, right?
The worst one is that people think it doesn't cause COVID. That's the worst conspiracy. Okay.
So there is a huge following at the moment.
Huge following.
Linking coronavirus with 5G, which is really strange. But before we start attacking how strange it is, let's look at it from an objective perspective.
But first, I just want listeners to understand, like, 5G and coronavirus is what I thought Richie was going to have the whole show
on.
I was really, really bloody nervous. Because I know, because we have quite a lot of mutual friends, I know that he has seen some of the same rubbish in social media
I've
seen. And I was like, no, he's a smart guy. They couldn't have gotten to him. They couldn't have. But you never know. There are people walking around Bondi Beach, Coogee Beach, with their homemade radiation detectors going, this cell phone tower, and they're 4G towers, right? This cell phone tower is giving off this amount of radiation, could probably cause COVID. And people are sharing that on Facebook.
Big time. All right, let's look at it. Look, I read a great article at TheVerge.com. It's called Conspiracy Theories, Coronavirus, UK Telecom Engineers Attack Abuse. That's not what it's called. That's just words, obviously, that I Googled. Yeah. So there's been, as we mentioned before, a string of attacks against 5G towers around the world by anti-5G activists. But to be honest, until I read a lot of the stuff about it, I didn't actually know how bad it is. It's really bad. All right. So I read about this one telecom engineer.
Burning towers.
There's a telecom engineer in the UK that told his story. Now, he talks about how he goes out often, and every time people see him, he's getting people that yell violence at him. He's getting people that constantly
yell the word violence at him. Violence!
Violence! As soon as I said that, I was like, you're an idiot. And they also, and he gets a lot of death threats. He talks about how he's gone up to towers and behind posters, there's been razors and needles hidden to try to prick and cut him as he's trying to do stuff. And then there's a stream of videos online of people burning down towers. And I've got some figures here for you. Now, according to The Verge, the industry body Mobile UK, there have been more than 200 incidents of abuse against telecom engineers since March 30th this year. Okay. And more than 90 arson attacks on mobile infrastructure. All right. And the irony of it all is that he's like, I didn't even work on 5G. The people, he talks about how he was in a town. He was there to fix their internet. He was fixing the internet. And then suddenly he had a crowd around him and he had to like do a hot extraction. He had to call his boss. His boss was like, get out of there now. And he had to leave. And he's like, I was just there to fix their internet. These people don't have internet. I was there to fix it. They started yelling, 5G is killing babies, and then he had to leave. He said, I don't even do 5G. So it's a crazy conspiracy.
And also, he doesn't kill babies either.
No, especially not, right? It's a crazy conspiracy. And so I wanted to just talk about conspiracy theories in general, because I think they're important as well, because they really represent where we have gotten to as people, where we've gotten to as a liberal democracy, right? And the theory about 5G and coronavirus goes like this. The aforementioned radio waves penetrate the body and straight away weaken your immunity system. This is not me stating this is happening. I'm just telling you.
Okay, so this is all right. So here, I'll give this a caveat. This is the bullshit section of the show.
You meant to not say the word. Okay. So it weakens your immunity. That's why people have been more susceptible to COVID-19. The conspiracy theorists will talk about Wuhan, which was one of the original test centers for 5G, and be like, see, that's why 5G, that's why it started in Wuhan. All right. There was another image. There was an image that went viral on the internet of a man who was cleaning a 5G tower in a full hazmat suit, cleaning a tower. And they'd be like, well, if 5G is not dangerous for you, why is he in a hazmat suit? He responded, because I'm cleaning bird poo and I don't want to get it on me. But they're like, no, because it's 5G, because it's killing you. That's why you're wearing a hazmat suit.
So bird poo is good for you.
And there's been a lot of people in the mainstream, and for podcast listeners, I'm using the air quotation marks, mainstream
media, are the enemy of free shows like us. So,
yeah. Right, that have been spreading it as well. And, you know, there is a plethora of organizations, the World Health Organization, majority of health and science organizations, that have refuted every single claim. And in fact, we'll show you the science against all of these claims. But I think it really shows the time of the world that we're in. And we spoke about this early on when we spoke about COVID, I think in like the second episode.
Yeah.
It's a really crazy time to be in the world during this pandemic, and people are just grasping at anything.
Yeah. And I read this. Yeah. Sorry, you go.
No,
I'll go.
Okay.
Just because I want to be.
No, you go.
Yeah, I will. So, no, I won't go. No, like there was a speech that Sacha Baron Cohen gave earlier. It was either this year or the end of last year. And he was talking about the problems with social media and Facebook. And now, he wasn't specifically talking about these particular ones, but these are part of the infodemic. He said, you know, the problem is that people are confusing freedom of speech, which a lot of nations have, and, you know, UN, I think the UN convention actually has a little bit in there about freedom of expression, with freedom of reach. And the problem with our social media not guarding against bullshit is that this idea of freedom of reach means that people are choosing, to quote one of my favorite shows, The Newsroom, written by Aaron Sorkin, pretty much predicted Trump. People aren't choosing like what opinion to go with anymore. They're choosing the facts as they see them.
Exactly.
Because there's so much information out there presented in a way that looks credible.
Yeah. And so I like that word that you used, infodemic. So the WHO mentioned in February that
COVID... I'll look at your show notes, sorry.
That's no big deal. The WHO mentioned in February that COVID-19...
I think it's WHO, because if you say the WHO, everyone's going to be...
They think it's the band, and then we can't be on YouTube.
The band is awesome.
The World Health Organization mentioned in February that COVID-19 pandemic... excuse me, was also accompanied by a massive infodemic, which is what you're saying now. Now, if you Google the word infodemic, like I did,
look at me.
You won't find anything, because it's not a real word. But what it's saying is that the world has been flooded with too much information about this. Obviously, the vast majority of it is good, but there's also the aspects of it that is not true information at all. And what Mick was saying before is that people are kind of picking up what they want to do. And I found this great comparison, that one historian of science compared the situation to the 17th century, noting that, and I quote, "We are living in a moment of ground zero empiricism, in which almost everything is up for grabs, including, it seems, non-scientific explanations. And that got me really interested. I'm like, well, I mean, what is empiricism and what does he kind of mean by this? And, I mean,
How many degrees have you got? And you're like, what's empiricism?
I just don't know.
In fact, one of our lecturers from one of the degrees
watching
the show right now, and you have said, what is empiricism?
No, I like to ask these questions I know the answer to, just to help our listeners not feel so stupid.
I know what empiricism is. It's what a wizard does. To help out the king.
Yeah, it's when Gandalf was saying, thou shalt not pass, that was empiricism, right? When he was doing his thing. Empiricism, okay? In philosophy, empiricism is a theory that states that knowledge comes only or primarily from sensory experience. It is one of the several views of epistemology, along with rationalism and skepticism. Empiricism emphasizes the role of empirical evidence in the formation of ideas, rather than innate ideas or traditions. And this historian was talking about in the 17th century, this is the birth of ideas. People were just getting information and they're piecing together, and they didn't have the time to get the evidence to back it all up. It was ground zero. And he's kind of saying this pandemic has caused the restart of that. We are in this time of empiricism again, where people are just formulating what they think is right based on the information. I just thought that was a fascinating look at it. And I came across a bit more of it. This is a bit more that he had to say. Yet in moments of radical novelty and the radical uncertainty novelty admits, like a squid obscuring itself in ink, we are temporarily thrown back into a state of ground zero empiricism. Chance observation, apparent correlations, and antidotes that would ordinarily barely merit mention, much less publication in peer-reviewed journals, have the internet buzzing with speculations among physicians, virologists, epidemiologists, microbiologists, and the interested lay public. I thought it was a really good way to kind of bring it up.
Interested lazy public, to be honest.
it's a typo. It must be a typo.
You know, like what's the classic conspiracy theorist's response? Like you say, oh, look, I don't think that's correct. And they go, do your research. But YouTube videos are not research, unless it's a show that research. But
yeah, absolutely. Look, so we spoke about, I can't remember, we were talking about conspiracy theories for one of the episodes we've done in season two.
Yeah, no, COVID. I swear it was COVID.
We looked at the blueprint of conspiracy theories, and there was like the red herring. There was like, you know, when there's a thousand things saying one thing, but there's one thing saying another, well, then a thousand people will focus on that one thing, and then suddenly they will give it more importance than the thousands of others that say the opposite.
It's called the focal effect, actually. There's a great book called Persuasion, The Power of Influence by Cialdini, and it's a sales technique. It's an interrogation technique, actually, and the danger of videoing police interrogations the way they do it, because they focus on the person being questioned. But if you take it from a side of view, focus on both of them, it'll be different. But the idea of whatever is in focus is important because it's in focus, as opposed to, you know, people determining whether or not there's any evidence that makes that particularly important.
Yeah. And it sort of reminded me, if you check out, I ran across, there's a website on Facebook called Lad Bible. I think that's it's pretty popular, right? And there's a Lad Bible, The Arguments, I think it's called. Ooh. Have you seen that? It's amazing, mate.
Watch the funny videos on Lad Bible.
So what they do, it's short, they're about 10 minutes each, and they get two people sitting in a pub. It's really well shot. And they have a beer each, and then the table has strongly agree, strongly disagree. And they're polar opposites. And in fact, the first episode I watched was a Marvel fan and a DC fan. And they started asking questions like, Marvel has the best characters. And then they had an argument about it. But the best thing about this production is that they have really, really, really good, sensible, non-emotive discussions and arguments with each other, which I was just like, is this Lad Bible? This is really cool, because they had one on Flat Earth, where they had a scientist and a Flat Earth conspiracy theorist who just talked it out. You know what I mean? And then the last question, the result, the Earth is flat. The Earth is definitely flat. No. But at the very end, the last question they always ask is, would you have a beer with this person again? And all of them always say yes, because they must have just been really smart. They don't invite the loonies in. And when I say loonies, there's loonies on all sides. There's loonies in every camp.
They went to have a beer with the Marvel fan?
Shut up.
I just don't know how that conversation could not get emotional.
But it so this got me looking into conspiracy theories, right? And again, all those people that want to do what Mick said, don't just do it off your normal Google account, which I did. go through something else.
Go through Tor or go through a VPN.
Yeah.
Best way to do it is get yourself a VPN and then go through Tor. It's designed to route you through several different. Actually, I'm going to appear on a list for teaching people.
You really are, mate. You're me and you.
I'm going to put in the chat notes on YouTube. But basically, look up torproject.org, and it will teach you how to securely browse on the internet. Now, that is for good purposes. If you are a scumbag, I don't want you following my directions.
So, I started looking up why people believe conspiracy theories. I was just like, "What? Why?" You know, I literally searched, "Why do people believe conspiracy theories?" And there is huge amounts of articles and academic studies to why people believe conspiracy theories. The vast majority of them are really complex psychological studies. And you know, I've got articles here. We won't go into them. The Business Insider, Discovery Magazine.
He's done his research, ladies and gents. He's done his research.
All right. But cherry picking's good, right? So I don't know, but I found these two articles that point out personality traits that someone who would believe a conspiracy theory is most likely to have. And you know, that's we won't go into it, but needless to say, it's a lot about the person that wants to believe the conspiracy theory. But probably the best thing I ran into while looking into this conspiracy theory, and the best thing was got me back to that Lad Bible, the discussions or the arguments, whatever it's called, was a few articles I ran into that sort of gave you advice on what not to do with conspiracy theorists, right? People that believe that 5G caused coronavirus. And they said the worst thing you could possibly do is present them facts and tell them how wrong they are, or absolutely outright say how ridiculous their thinking is. Because, you know, what is going to happen? They're not going to suddenly go, "Oh, geez, thanks, Mick. You're 100% right. I am stupid. Let's crack on with what you believe." You're just going to reconfirm exactly the position that they have. You know, there's no use fighting fire with fire. And instead, having an objective conversation is the way forward. And I thought that was just a really important couple of tips that were sort of out there when dealing in a world that we're currently in that just has some crazy, crazy things being discussed at the moment. How do you deal with people that love these conspiracy theories, Mick?
I block them. I have this big problem, right? Like having grown up in a small country sort of area, I mean, you grew up in a pretty remote area too. So access to information education is obviously limited in certain parts of every country, right? But having travelled around the country and met lots of different people, one thing that's been a passion for both of us, not together, that's weird, but Richie and I are both passionate martial artists as well. So you come into contact with all sorts of people, right?
Yeah.
And then you get the shock of your life when they start sharing this conspiracy crap. And as I said, you know, I've blocked and muted people now who are sharing videos of
is that why
non-scientist random people.
Why you haven't responded to any of my stuff?
I'm not responding to any of your stuff. Of people wandering around it. So I did used to challenge it. I will always challenge things like racism, and I will always,
of course,
just always wade into that. I talked to it last week how I'd wandered into some US gun law debates, and it's never smart to argue your values versus a different nation's values and try and impose them on there. Oh, I thought I'd have a crack. I managed to get myself out of that argument and wandered back in there this week. So I've probably got to learn about that. But when it comes to this type of conspiracy theory, I like to share credible communication. In fact, the course I taught at university last year, University of Canberra, was actually called Credible Communication. And we taught people, this is going to sound really bad, we gave them the choice for their final assessment on how to take academic research and turn it into a credible piece of communication, a credible piece of fake news. So basically use the cherry picking method to skew what the results actually mean for the public, or to do a completely ludicrous piece of fake news. And I'll tell you what, the best students were the ones that were able to write a very convincing article or video or podcast.
Yep.
That was completely fake, but still used enough of the information from the academic sources to make it look credible. And that's the danger. That's the danger. You can make credible communication for anyone through this cherry picking method that you discussed. And it's, you know, if your audience doesn't look into it, and the idea that we were teaching these people, these were all journalists, national relations people, these were marketing students. Some of them were actually Instagram influencers. One of them, she has a YouTube channel that has the amount of subscribers and listeners that we will never hit that level.
Because it's way less than us. Yeah, way less than us. Yeah, got it.
Way less, that's right. But some of them were excellent at it. But the idea of the course was to teach people how to do better craft public information. Luckily, everyone on the course were actually people looking to be positive influencers on the communication environment. But it's so challenging. So when it comes to this stuff, I will try and refute it as much as possible. But then there are other people that just don't want to listen, right? The personality trait of someone who is looking to believe in something.
Yeah.
You can't argue against that because you're actually arguing against a type of faith. Right?
That's a great point. So that point there, I think, is a real huge issue. I watched the documentary on Netflix. I can't remember what it's called, but it's about flat Earth. Why? Because I'm just fascinated by conspiracy theories. I don't know why. And the main guy out of it, Mark Sargent, I believe is his name, who's one of the huge flat earthers out there. He was just like, oh yeah, you know, I don't believe in the moon landing. I don't believe in this. And I was just like, oh, okay, well, there's a pattern here, right? Yeah. He just wants to believe what other people don't believe in. In fact, if the world was topsy-turvy and the vast majority of the world believed that it was flat, I guarantee he'd be like, no, the earth's round. You know what I mean? He wants the combativeness. He wants to be outside of it. And you know what? This kind of brings me to the my little summary of where we've got
to. Who's the bigger fool? You know, the one who is an idiot or the one who argues with the idiot?
Exactly. That's a great point.
Or the idiot who hosts a show. But
The reason why we wanted to do 5G, or the reason why I wanted to and I forced Nick to do it, was because it's a huge change. And it's a huge change. And like we spoke about at the very start of the show, everything is linked and nothing happens by itself. And this world that we face at the moment, multipolar world, there's not going to be one thing that is a spark for that tinderbox. It's going to be an aggregation of things. And you never know, 5G may be the thing that tips it over. So that's why I really wanted, I've seen it everywhere, right? And that's why I really want to see whether this is how relevant this is to what's happening in the world. And it's
dangerous, right? Like, because these can cause some pretty big national security flare-ups because we have states, people, you know, leaders of countries reacting to this information.
Exactly. And the conspiracy...
While they're making decisions on it.
Well, the conspiracy theory of it is equally important, in my opinion. Why? Because there are so many people that believe these conspiracy theories, which means they don't believe their government. What is this highlighting? This is highlighting that people within these liberal democracies have a fear of the democracy and a fear of the government that they currently are in.
Or even worse, they've got people who are in government using these conspiracy theories for political capital.
Exactly. And it's adding to what we spoke about when we talked about gray zone. It's creating a divide. You know, we now have people who are on this side of the fence or that side of the fence of 5G.
Great way to divide a nation, right? Like, you know, exactly. There's been some great Twitter bots happening. I say great. I mean, great examples. I don't actually mean positive.
Yes.
In the current Black Lives Matter protests that are occurring. And it's quite interesting because people are reacting to these Twitter bots. And one of them was a classic one that said, I've always been a fan. It was reacting to Rage Against the Machine, one of the lead musicians from that. I've always been a fan of your music, but now it's turning political, blah, 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 blah. Right. The band name is Rage Against the Machine. Killing in the Name of is 27 years old as a song, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Right. But if you actually clicked on and people are retweeting it and commenting, going, this guy's crazy, like they've always been political, you actually click on the profile of the Twitter account, it's a bot. The last time that person tweeted was during the last flare-up of something in the US.
Exactly.
And completely unrelated. And also, some of their tweets flipped sides. And you could tell that they were the role of that account was to drive division within a certain nation's populace. That's it. And that's how these issues become national security issues, right?
Ever since we read about the stuff that happened with the potential Russian interference in the 2016 elections, the bots, the creating the divide, it's all I'm seeing now. And then I saw exactly what you highlighted for the Black Lives Matter thing, which is this huge movement that's happening at the moment. The bots are at it again. They're just creating more divides and more divides. Yeah, divides. Now,
as we said, Charlottesville, where a young lady lost her life, bots drove they didn't actually drive them in the car, but they drove people to the protest.
Absolutely. So we are in a world where the rules are changed. It is why we wanted to do 5G. It's changing from a communication perspective, but this one little thing, this just changing how you look at, you know, kittens on your telephone, how that happens, which you should be doing every morning because it's great for morale.
And Wolf on Facebook, follow the page Wolf, the best doctor ever.
Is going to link to multipolarization of the world and potential conflict, and it's all connected. Nothing happens.
It's got to be more connected now. Everything's connected. You got your Warfareers 5G plan? Yeah, everything's connected, right? So 5G is going to make it worse. We're going to have 3D videos of flat Earth.
Around
the world on flat Earth. Yeah.
And here is a weird way to look at it. I actually like the fact that conspiracy theories can exist because it means that we're in a society where people can have crazy thoughts and crazy ideas, freedom of speech, have that ability to talk about it. When it gets dangerous, I don't like it, but I like the freedom that comes with being able to express a crazy idea like that.
I worry that they have an equal voice in the voting booth, but
yeah.
I actually don't want it to be any other way apart from maybe just tone them down. Like I would like conspiracy theorists to focus on Roswell and moon landings. Although what hasn't gone, we should do an episode on UFOs because I'm not sure if you've noticed, but
I will not get released.
So far in 2020, there has been confirmation of UFOs. And there's been notification that certain types of signals are being received from outer space. And yet no one's worried about aliens at the moment because everyone's just like, no, dude, we just don't have time.
We've got stuff to worry about,
you're not going to come and kill us, we don't have time for you.
All right. Before we finish up, looking into the future. So what's going to happen? 5G is going to come. That is definitely going to happen. And you know what? I think for most people, it's going to be seamless. The towers will be built. They're not burning down 5G towers at the moment. They keep burning down the wrong ones. That's the irony that exists. So they're burning down 2G, 4G, et cetera, et cetera. 5G is going to come. We're going to have amazingly fast internet. We'll take it for granted. And we will have whatever 5G enabled devices come. It'll come with like 3D vision or something like that. We're going to have it and we'll take it for granted, just like we did FaceTiming with 4G, which is good, which is a cool place to be as we advance. But what is in the future, Mick Cook, you may be asking? Well, it is a little thing called 6G. I decided to have a look at 6G and lo and behold, our friends at Huawei are already working on it. According to abc.net.au in August 2019, Huawei has already begun researching 6G wireless technology. Can you just listen to these numbers? This is going to blow your mind.
I am listening. I'm also talking to our friends.
NBN at the moment does 100 gigabits per second, top tier available to buy.
What?
So 100 gigabits per second. That's what they say the top tier of NBN currently does. When 5G comes, they're saying that it will do 1,450 megabits per second. So that's 14, an increase.
14.5 times. Yeah,
that's an increase of 1,350%, right?
Is it?
Huawei is saying that when 6G comes, you will get a download speed of 8 million gigabits per second.
I don't need it.
This is a download increase of 551,624%.
It's like when The Hobbit came out, the first movie came out, and it was one of the first films to use 48 or 64 frames per second rather than the standard 24.
Yeah.
And you go to the cinema and it's in 3D and you're like, everything's too fast.
Yeah. And they even give you an example, but they don't realize it tells you how useless it's going to be. You can download 146 hours of top quality Netflix every second at that speed. It's like, but that's 146 hours worth of footage. I don't need it every second.
I don't.
I need 1 second's worth every second. That's all I need.
Like, I still read paper books. I have a Kindle as well, man. But like my Kindle having 6G is not going to change how far I read.
Exactly.
Anyway. Like the Audible, when I use Audible. Hey, if anyone from Audible is listening, feel free to sponsor. Yeah,
which they definitely are. All right, let's finish up, Mick. Hey, that was fun, mate. Did you enjoy our take on 5G? What do you got any last words on it, buddy?
I think. You know, like a lot of people, they thought Richie might be drawing a long bow to this show. Look, I always have faith in Richie on a lot of things. This one, like 5G is a national security issue. Who owns the infrastructure? What you can do to the infrastructure? What the infrastructure can do for you? Particularly smaller nations, you know, US and Australian listeners often forget about it, but small nations, you know, a nation like Israel, who has a strongly networked military because of all of the technologies they use. They use internet protocol for their command control systems, just like a lot of us. But 5G will be able to do something for a nation like Israel, where they can actually connect the whole country very, very quickly, and they're in the conflict is at home, right? So you've got to think about, this is what we call dual-use technologies, and you've got to understand how they influence it. And then you add on top of it corporate espionage, state-on-state competition under the radar, above the radar. So 5G is not just something that Telstra's going to I'll just use a swear word. It's not something Telstra's going to fuck up for you. It is also something that is influencing your national security. And just like any other capability, you need to be aware about what that impact will be for you.
Yeah.
You don't want to be fighting a war over 5G.
That's good.
You want to be fighting a war on 5G.
That's good. Look, thanks for that. Is a really good summary. I love how this is just 5G has been the catalyst for so much discussion that's so important to so many different things.
Man, although we were 5 minutes late.
That's right. No, but there was a lot of fun. So, hey, that's it. There you have it, everyone. I hope you have enjoyed our take on 5G. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. I hope you enjoy all the episodes, actually.
I don't care. I care that you listen. I don't care if you
He cares. He cares a lot. And if you do enjoy them, please share them on your socials. Please get people as part of the conversation.
Yes.
And if you really like it and you've got ideas, write down those ideas, because we got a little project coming in the near future where we're going to talk about these again. And hopefully we're going to talk about them with you in a closed environment, not for people to listen, but for you to explore some ideas and get some of your thoughts out on the table and to write about it as well. It'll be amazing. So Mick, why don't you talk about our socials?
I will talk about socials, but before we do that, I just want to do a plug for the TDP community I run through my other podcast. I didn't tell Richie I was going to do that. I've had people start sending in articles. So if anyone's looking for a community to have these sorts of debates in a closed environment that is safe, go to thedebrussian.com, hit on the community page, jump on and join the TDP community, and you'll be able to have these types of discussions. I know we have people like Trav and Josh who listen to this show on there at the moment debating things like policing, politicization, the military getting involved in political affairs. Done, because I can't say politicization. Oh, what? That's, damn it. All right. But what Richie wanted me to talk about was our social media plug. So let's talk about Facebook.
Hit it.
It is something that was created by Mark Zuckerberg. And
yeah, good. Start at the start, baby.
And what happened was Facebook, we have a page on there. Go to search War for Idiots and you will find us. Please jump on there. Have a chat with us. We answer it. You'll find both Richie and I chatting on there. You'll also find us on our individual Twitter pages. You'll find us pretty clearly. You can now recognize Richie because he's got a great profile pic up there. You probably can't recognize me because I look younger, suaver, cooler. But I probably should change that picture, right? So for Richie, it's at Richie_TTT. For myself, it's at Mick_Cook. And also, you can jump on and talk to our program directors at War4Idiots. And hey, let them know what you want to see coming up in the show. Please don't say the moon landing. We probably can do UFOs.
Because everyone knows that's fake anyway.
Yeah. And also, look, jump on iTunes, Wooshka, Podbean, Stitcher, Doozer, anywhere you're listening to us. Chuck us 5 stars. We'll accept 4 stars.
More than five.
Yeah, more than five. But like, if you're going to give us 1 star, it's easier. We just don't need you as a listener. So like, don't. If you want to leave a bad review, don't leave a bad review. Just stop listening to us. That's easier for us. Yeah. And we will actually feel better about you if you do that.
And just to finish off, Josh's comment, this is the most informative episode about fifth generation warfare I've ever seen. Thank
you. I'll tell you what, mate, it's got more substance than bloody fifth generation warfare. Anyway,
look, that was a lot of fun. Thank you, Mick. Thank you, listeners. Thanks everyone live on the YouTube. And until next time, this is Rich.
And this is Mick.
And remember that we may be idiots,
but so are you.
War for Idiots is a TDP production. All opinions expressed by individuals on the podcast are those of the individual and not necessarily representative of any other organisation. The music used during War for Idiots is Fireworks by Jazzar and is used under an Attribution Share Alike 3.0 international licence.